couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week on the show, we're going to be talking about some scary stuff. It's early to talk about scary stuff because Halloween is next month.
It's only September, but September's kind of a scary month, so
well,
why
and
not?
It's Friday the 13th, and that's...
It's true.
That's why they're releasing Insidious Chapter 2 into theaters. And we're also going to be talking about The Family, which isn't scary, but it's a mob movie.
It could be sometimes.
Drinking Buddies, which is, you know, what we all want to start doing, no matter what day of the week it is. There's also going to be news and DVDs and Blu-rays and a little bit of interviews here and there. Before we get started, if you want to email us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. If you want to talk to us, you can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can reach us on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. And if you want to talk to me in person and...
Are they going to hunt you down?
Well, they might. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I'm Katie K. Reviews.
So you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. One of the movies we're going to be talking about, and we're just going to give you a little bit of tease here, is Insidious Chapter 2, which is, of course, the sequel to Insidious.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Patrick Wilson has a little bit to say about this.
We really did have a great time on the first one, and everybody believed in the project. Everybody, cast, crew, everybody. So you knew all the people coming back were coming back knowing, you know, how special the first one was.
So they're all back. They're already, the gang's back together. They've gotten the band back together.
Isn't it great to get the gang back together?
We'll be talking a little bit more about Insidious Chapter 2 later in the show. But right now, we're going to talk about some interesting stuff coming across the news desk. The magical studio in the sky, the magical studio news desk. The first story really hit hard, and it was an interesting thing that happened earlier this week at the Toronto International Film Festival in Toronto, in Canada, if you don't know where that is.
American geography.
Alex Billington from firstshowing.net was at a screening of Ty West's, or his new movie.
Yes.
And there was a guy in the front row using a cell phone and then put it away. And Alex went out and complained to the management and they didn't do anything. And then the guy pulled out his phone and again was using a full brightness in the front row. And here's I had a chance to talk to Alex about this, and this is sort of what happened next.
I couldn't see what he was doing. As far as I could tell, he had it up in front of him, pointing towards the screen. So at that point, I left the theater and decided to call the police and report what I thought might be an act of piracy in progress, a crime in progress.
Okay, so he then went. He called 911. He called 911 on this guy,
and they laughed at him.
And they did laugh at him. They did. That's true. It kind of escalated beyond that because, of course, then, you know, the police were involved and the festival organizers got involved and the press office got involved and pulled him out and had a little talking to with him. Let's put the 911 thing aside for a second, but this is then what...
Can we even put the 911 thing aside?
I think we can. I think we can. But this is what Alex... This is the point that I think Alex... And Alex does have a point. This is what he said was the response from the festival.
The conversation we had in the hallway then is that this person has the right to use his phone. They told me that Press and Industry Screen has a policy that anyone can use any device or any phone or anything they want. They literally told me that he could use his laptop if he wanted.
Basically, they can do whatever they want. These people
can
use their
phones. It's true. And in the Press and Industry Screenings, that's kind of the going rule.
Yeah.
Whether it's good or not, whether it's irritating or not, that's, you know, that's up to the festival.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how it goes.
Well, and I think it's a little bit different because one of the things Alex said, and I'm going to go ahead and post the full interview or the whole, I talked to Alex about this. I'm going to post the whole thing. If you go to fatguysinthemovies.com, you can hear kind of fully what he said. We're pulling sound bites from him now. And he does point out that, like, in the can market, they have industry screenings, but it's industry only. Mm-hmm. And the difference for those who don't know, who aren't in our business, you have public screenings, which, you know, any poor slob can show up for. You've got press screenings, which are people like us who are coming to review the film and generate buzz. And then you've got industry screenings, which is basically the people that are buying the film.
Right.
In the can market, the industry is industry only screenings. They separate them. Toronto does not. Mm-hmm. Toronto does press and industry. And I've heard problems with this happen at like Sundance and stuff like that, where people are on the phone doing business. And the reality is, you know, they're not really doing hard business. They're checking email and stupid things.
Most likely. Yeah.
So, one more thing, one more clip from Alex. It's basically, you know, whether he felt it was good that this caused a ruckus.
I didn't want to cause a scene related to my actions. I'm glad that I brought the much bigger issue to light in hopes of changing the notion that this is acceptable, because it's not. And that's the issue I wanted to bring to light, rather than the decisions I made to, you know, call the wrong number. I think that was my mistake. But I wanted to bring attention to just how bad cell phone use is here and how there's literally nothing that they will do about it.
Here's the thing with the 911. He admits.
So many points in this that you can bring up.
Well,
where do you even begin with this thing?
Well, I think he comes out, he says, to his credit, Alex is like, look, you know, I overreacted, sure, and that's fine.
And the police don't have anything to do with movie pirating, even if they're pirating a movie. I mean, really.
Well,
it's an FBI thing.
Well, this is, I guess, Interpol?
I don't know. Who handles? Well, that's what it says at the end of the movie.
Part of it is it was in Canada, so it was in a different country,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't the 911, which is, you know, Alex is from America. But here's one thing that I have to say why I'm kind of glad that it caused a ruckus. Because, first of all, people call 911 for stupid things all the time. And they're trained to vet those and move those on if they're a problem.
Aren't you supposed to get in trouble for abusing 911 though?
If you abuse it. But if you were to call every week, I think it would be a problem.
My husband actually was just telling me a story about his sister and her friend, and they were making a movie when they were back in school, and
sure.
And it involved one of them calling the police.
Okay.
And so they were making this whole video, and his sister's friend actually dialed 911, and she suddenly realized, this isn't the dead phone that we had. This is actually the real phone. And she actually called 911. She quickly hung up before anybody picked up.
Mm-hmm.
But they called her back.
Oh, yeah. If they register and a call, they'll do it.
They called her back and yelled at her, like gave her the what for about, you know, taking 911 seriously and not calling it just for anything.
Well, but that was a completely fake call.
Yeah.
My point that I think is, and it's getting a little bit overshadowed by the fact that it was a 911 call, and it does play as a little bit ludicrous. Sure.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. You and I go to these screenings all the time.
Yeah.
And we see screenings, and they're bagging and tagging phones, and they got people in there with night vision goggles. We see DVDs all the time with the big FBI thing, and it says Department of Homeland Security.
Yes.
$200,000 fine, whether you intend to do it or not, or you're going to pay out profit on it. If you follow the overhype from Hollywood's industry, this is the worst crime you can commit short of, like, blowing up a building.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
We know that people in screenings aren't doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if you're in Malaysia and you've got a little handy cam in your lap, okay, maybe, and you can get the Malaysian bootlegs in the market for $1.
Sure.
I have a few. But I will admit it.
Uh-oh. Homeland Security. Should I call 911? Homeland Security is coming after you, Chris.
You know, it's one of those things that, you know, it's a great Malaysian souvenir. But but they're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that that's not the way that people are going to really bootleg a movie.
True. Although I've seen people taping scenes. I've had a couple instances where I've seen people doing that.
And what are they doing with it, though?
I don't know. But you're not allowed to.
Yeah, right.
My point being is, Alex, he called because he thought a crime was being committed. He didn't know if the guy was taking pictures or... And that's, you know, you can believe it or not.
I don't know. I'm calling shenanigans on that. Yeah. Because that's what you say all the time.
Oh, I say that just...
You do it all the time just to get people in trouble because they're texting.
Well, yeah.
So it's just a
good
excuse.
But I have seen people take... I saw people trying to take pictures of MacGruber because that... And that damaged the box office because it made only $9
million.
And some IMAX movie I saw, this guy was actually literally filming through his 3D glasses.
Awesome.
It was bizarre.
That works.
The point being is, yes, it's an overreaction, but I think it does show that Hollywood's overreacting at times when they're basically saying this is actually terrorism. And I've heard that sort of thing said by industry.
Yeah, that's true.
Anywho.
It is blown out of proportion, and so was this.
Personally, I'm glad Alex caused ruckus, because at the very least, they should separate press and industry, because it's very hard. If you want to let people have their tech, let them have their tech, but if they're not going to pay attention to the movie, let the reviewers watch it.
Put them in the back of the theater.
All right, we got to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about The Family and Insidious 2, Drinking Buddies and News.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. We were talking about cell phone usage in movies.
Yeah.
Yes.
I still think it needs to end, so.
Oh, I agree.
Causing up problems.
I just think that calling 911 on people in press and industry screenings at a film festival is a little bit silly.
Fight the power. That's what I say. Fight the power.
Okay. Fight right. the power.
Let's move on. We got a move. We got movies to talk about.
Let's fight the power with this movie, shall we?
I don't know how much fighting of and how much power this movie is, but go on. What are we talking about here?
Up first, we have The Family. Mm. Robert De Niro stars as a notorious mobster who's placed in witness protection in Normandy, France, with his wife and kids.
You set a good example by snitching on your friends in the mob.
We're not in Brooklyn anymore.
I don't think there's anywhere further from Brooklyn than this rat hole.
I'm sick of being in witness protection.
Welcome to France.
Try to fit in. I'm getting tired of finding you a new place to live every 90 days.
Why'd you kill the plumber?
I didn't kill him. I took him to the hospital.
Who's going to fix the pipes now?
Well, who's going to rebuild the supermarket that burned down the day we got here?
My first question is, with this movie.
Yes.
Why did they take a family from Brooklyn?
And put them in France?
Put them in France!
Yeah. That is my big question about this one, too. That one doesn't make any sense.
This is one of those movies where the premise just doesn't hold water.
There are a lot of things about this movie that don't hold water.
Including the pipes in the basement.
It's true.
But here's the thing. They're this obnoxious, Sopranos-esque Brooklyn mafia family.
Yeah.
And they at one point they had them in the south of France on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've moved them to Normandy. And they're the most obnoxious people. They stick out like sore thumbs because not only are they American, they're obnoxious Brooklyn, you know, crime American. They've done nothing to hide them. They're going and blowing up blowing up supermarkets and beating up plumbers.
They had it coming.
And then what do they decide to do at one point? They say, you must have a barbecue and meet everybody in town. I'm like, this is not lying low.
No, not so much.
So...
And that's the thing. Ridiculous. There is so much about this movie that is so ridiculous.
Mm.
I mean, you know, from the way that, you know, the bad guys start tracking them down, that is the most ridiculous thing ever. It's so contrived. But the thing is, it's still really fun. It is. It is. You're just crabby because you had to go on your birthday.
Well, yeah. It wasn't an awesome movie, and you gave me permission
it's not
to complain
an awesome
about
movie.
It
no.
for the entire year.
Fine. I told you if it was a horrible movie, you could complain about it.
I don't know if it's horrible.
No.
But the thing, and you talk about this, they have this little plot twist where they do find him, and it's this bizarre little...
Oh, it's terrible.
Suddenly this very pop as sort of Steven Soderbergh sort of montage of how they find out where they are. Mm-hmm. Then they send like the most obvious hitmen... ever.
And like five cars full of them.
Yeah, with like bazookas and like nuclear weapons and, you know, industry people from Toronto with cell phones running around. This is, it so escalates. It's one of those movies that any scene I think is fine on its own. It just doesn't hold together very well.
I think this is one of those things that everybody knew it was ridiculous starting from the beginning.
Okay.
You know, walking into it, I think everyone except Michelle Pfeiffer was in on this joke. Michelle Pfeiffer, she's not quite sure what movie she's in. She's had that problem lately a lot.
Well, I think she's having flashbacks to Married to the Mob.
And she's trying to be dramatic, and this is not a movie where you need to be, you know, really dramatic.
Yeah, but what about the daughter's story? Diana Abnagnagnam?
Yes.
Whatever her name
that
is.
That was a little
Glee.
Sad. But
terrible. Yeah. It was awful.
And that's the thing. When this movie tries to get dramatic, that's when it falls apart the most. The rest, I can totally overlook some of the ridiculous plot points.
Okay.
Because Robert De Niro's hilarious.
He's good. And when they and what's nice about it is they do have some very funny Robert De Niro self-referential actor
jokes
to it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spoil them for you, but there's some great things in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
But like I said, just kind of as a whole, it didn't work for me. I'm giving it a kind of sucks.
I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
So yeah, if you like Robert De Niro in it.
He is a great comic mobster, and he makes it worth watching.
And that's what Michelle Pfeiffer says.
He has this ability to be incredibly violent and be funny at the same time.
So it's just like Chris Brown. Only he's not funny.
He's not funny.
So we'll talk about Chris Brown next week with his movie.
Oh, great.
Oh, my heavens. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Let's move on to the next film.
Okay. Up next, we have Drinking Buddies. Olivia Wilde and Jake Johnson star as a couple of coworkers whose friendship falters after they spend a weekend away with their significant others.
Chris is here.
Oh, I can't wait to meet him.
If I introduce you, don't say anything stupid or mean.
Hi, everybody.
Pleasure, yeah.
Heard a lot of great things about you, and we're excited to have you.
Really?
Good.
Yeah.
Just going to interest you guys in a hike.
Will it offend you at all if I say no?
Absolutely not.
No way that I'm not going.
How about you? You want to go? I guess you have to take a person at their word that they're actually into you.
You really put a lot into that.
I did.
That was a good blurb. My blurb would have been a bunch of people standing around talk to each other, and Jake Johnson looks like Rafi from The League.
Okay.
He looks like a terrorist with his beard.
That's your perspective on the film.
Yes. This is the first mumblecore movie I've seen.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And
that's interesting.
I now know why I've kind of not been dying to see mumblecore movies.
Yeah, maybe for the sake of our audience, we should explain what a mumblecore movie is.
You probably do a better job.
That they're entirely improvised. So they kind of have a little bit of direction coming into it.
They have like a global outline.
Right. But the lines, the story, it's pretty much entirely improvised. So they kind of just make it up as they go. And that has its challenges. And it depends on the cast. I've seen it done remarkably well.
Yeah.
Your Sister's Sister by Lynn Shelton, I believe. Mm-hmm. I saw that the last time I was in Toronto. It was done so well.
Yeah.
Some of them, baghead, absolutely horrible. Painful. This one kind of falls somewhere in the middle.
What I find interesting about the whole improvisation and the mumblecore model is mumblecore started out as this... It's supposed to be using amateur actors.
Mm-hmm. And really low budget and slapped together.
And they have the low budget and slapped together, but it's all these big name actors now who kind of got their start in these fields. So you got like Olivia Wilde and Anna Kendrick and
Ron Livingston.
Yeah. People you've seen for years.
Right.
And here's the problem I have with improvising actors. It doesn't sound natural because there's this attempt to avoid the camera and keep talking and not have uncomfortable silences, and so they kind of just sort of ramble a little
right.
bit too much.
There's a mix of sometimes they ramble a little too much, sometimes it's uncomfortable silence.
Yeah.
But at the same time, how often is real life that way, too?
Yeah, but
It's kind of the same thing. So,
yeah, okay.
This is a lot more natural than a lot of them that I've seen.
Yeah.
Yes. And in the end, it feels a little bit naturally awkward. How about that?
It does. Not a whole lot happens in the. For as much as
no,
I mean you. That's why I said your blurb was great because it
was
made
a
it
challenge.
Sound like, made it sound like there was a lot of stuff happening, and there really isn't a whole lot happening in this movie. It's just
no.
I got to the end because there's part, and I'll probably. I don't want to spoil it, but there's something where at the end I'm like, wait a minute, did this happen? Did I miss that? Was I like checking email or something while this is going on? So yeah, it does. There's an arc that kind of spins around and kind of ends about the exact same place it starts.
Yeah, pretty much.
So,
but that's so does real life.
The nature
sometimes.
Of the beast,
yeah.
I guess. What's your grade on it?
I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
Well, I'm going to say it kind of sucks, but that's me. I'm a jerk. Anyways, I'm going to go be a jerk, and we're going to talk about Insidious Chapter 2 when we come back. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Hello.
Let's move on and talk about the next movie on the docket, and that is Insidious Chapter Dos. In this film, James Wan directs the sequel to his 2011 hit about ghosts haunting a family through the astral plane.
Nothing's going to bother us. Not anymore. We have our son back. When you're we are a family again.
Sally!
So happening.
What is?
Tell us. What does she want?
I heard voices in the hallway. Is there something wrong with Daddy, Mom?
First off, did you like Insidious?
I did. Okay. I loved it. It was really scared cool. me to death.
Really?
Yeah.
You recovered, though.
Well.
You got better.
I got better. It didn't scare me as much in the theater as it did later. It was one of those things that sticks with you and pops up from time to time. Like, we were building our house at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we went upstairs one day and we're checking the place out. And, like, the tile guys were running around and we had people coming with us. And all of a sudden, I walked through the hallway and I saw, like, this little person run across the doorway.
Singing Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
And it was like, it was the tile guy.
The tile
guy. He was really short.
They hired Peter Dinklage to be the tile guy.
He was a small man. And I think I did let out a little bit of a scream. And he looked at me like, what? I'm like, Insidious.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't normally, you know, get really worked up about horror movies like that. But this one, it was really well done. And I saw it at a film festival in a theater full of people on their cell phones. No, I'm just kidding. It was in a theater full of screamers.
It's good or bad.
It was so much fun.
Yeah. I mean, I saw it in a theater. It was really cool. But it relies so much on sound and and quiet and loudness. So if you're not in the right crowd, if you're in a bunch of talkers and idiots,
yeah,
screamers are okay.
Yeah. For a movie. This is the kind of horror movie that I like.
Yeah. So Insidious Chapter 2 just continues the story. This is one of those films. We did not get a chance to see it.
No.
Just to put it out there on the record. But I loved Insidious. I thought The Conjuring, which James Wan also directed, was fantastic. Next, he's moving on to the Fast and Furious movies. Don't understand that at all, but there you go.
They are kind of scary.
What's interesting, though, we got a couple sound clips from James Wan, who, of course, directed it, and Lee Wannell, the writer for it, and talking about sort of what the theater experience is for this film, because you talked about the screamers.
Mm-hmm.
Less and less people are going to the movies these days, thanks to like the internet and Hulu, YouTube, all this stuff. I feel like people really still show up to movie theaters to see
the
horror
experience.
Films for that communal experience. But you've got to provide the scares.
I think they got a good point.
Definitely.
People are being driven away from the theaters for various reasons.
Because people are on their cell phones?
Idiots on their cell phones. This just general talkers. I think you're losing audience. And a lot of it's price, too. I mean, not just the movies, but the concessions and that sort of thing. If you get the right crowd, it can be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Or
sometimes the crowd can make the movie.
Yeah.
Or break it.
Yeah.
We have that a lot in screenings.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you also could see it at home. In your house is being constructed by dwarves, which can also be terrifying as well.
Terrifying, yes.
One other neat thing about this series is what Barbara Hershey had to say in an interview.
The fact that James was doing a character-oriented type of thing and not doing CGI and doing it on the set, I don't want to use the word old-fashioned because it's not old-fashioned, but the classic maybe way of the way they used to do horror films versus what they've become.
The practical effects.
Mm-hmm.
I like the return to that.
I really appreciate that, too. Yeah.
And we talked about this a bit with The Conjuring this summer. It's nice to go back to that sort of 70s style of filmmaking.
Yep.
Where you're not overly doing CGI. And that's what the ghosts were in Insidious. They were just walking around.
CGI can be so overdone.
Yeah.
And it takes you out of it.
It's one of those, it's sort of like Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park. When his character of Ian Malcolm said, "You're so preoccupied whether you could, you didn't wonder whether you should."
Well,
and that
there's the line.
That's when you're recreating dinosaurs or using special effects in movies. Or pulling out your cell phone during a screening.
There you have it.
I wish we had. You know what would be awesome? Is we had dinosaurs in every screening that would eat people that use their cell phone.
Dinosaurs instead of like the martial arts expert security guards that we have?
the doughy security guards?
No, we have a couple who are actually martial arts experts.
They?
Yes, they are in the Hall of Fame.
The brothers?
The brothers
are
in the Hall of Fame.
They're awesome.
They are. They are our best security guards.
And one of them actually does like a comedy routine before the show.
And that's why they don't carry weapons, because they have two already.
They have weapons, deadly weapons, in their hands. Spoiler alert, they are their hands. Whoops. Anyways, Insidious Chapter 2 does get a preemptive suck from us because they didn't show it to us in town. But I
Which
will
is really too bad.
Friday the 13th weekend, people.
Mm-hmm.
Go see a scary movie.
Perfect.
Wet your pants. For Hollywood. For the children. Please wet your pants for the children.
Wear your plastic pants to the theater.
No, don't.
Please do.
You know what?
Nobody wants that seat after you get out of it.
You mentioned my birthday was this week. September 11th, which that's a great time to have a birthday.
It's a terrible time to have a birthday, yes.
And a friend of mine, Tim Buell, from the Golden Briefcase, he sent me a note on Facebook, and he says, "May you not have to wear pants today. Don't wear any pants today. It's your birthday." And I'm like, I have a screening to go to. I'm blaming Tim.
Thank you for wearing pants on your birthday.
I wear shorts. Mm. I'm wearing shorts in the magical studio in the sky.
You always do.
Well, I'm wearing pants. You're lucky that I have something covering.
It's true. I am grateful for pants.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies and Fat Guys Wearing Pants. With Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer, let's talk about the box office. What do you think's going to... Well, first of all, let's talk about last week's box office.
Let's do that.
You actually came pretty close with Riddick.
Riddick at 18.
Which it came at 19. You were probably really excited on Sunday when you saw the estimates.
I didn't even remember.
I said 25. I had a little more faith. But, you know, here's the thing. This movie cost like $38 million to make, and Vin Diesel did it just because... Well, he actually got a sound clip from him, why he did the movie.
There were people on Facebook saying, if every one of us gave you $10, you could go make the movie yourself. You have to make this movie. And comments like that made me feel like I had to make it at all costs.
You know, fans wanted it. Fans wanted the movie. And
I don't know those fans, but...
Well, that's fine.
Good for those fans.
But the point being is I think it was a smart way of doing it.
You know,
keeping it relatively cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, made about half of its budget back on the first weekend. It'll be front-loaded.
That's not bad.
But it'll do fine on Blu-ray and DVD.
Yep.
Good for Vin Diesel. He can produce my movie next. Let's get some fans out there.
I don't want to see that movie.
It's going to be me wearing pants.
There'll be no pants.
And then
movie.
Suddenly no pants at all. It'll just be no pants. It'll be a no pants... No pants dance off. Pants off, dance off.
Yes.
All right.
But moving
that was
right
it.
Along.
Well, Instructions Not Included came in at number 3 with $8.1 million, which is actually really good for
That's incredible.
Bilingual comedy in its second week. So good for that. It kind of beat the Ultimate Life, which made $660,000, ranking 23rd for the weekend.
I'm
glad we spent all that time reviewing that movie last week. But even more so, Hellbaby.
This is my favorite.
Which made $4,980. It ranked 82nd for the weekend, and it was two spots below Much Ado About Nothing, which had already been out for 19 weeks.
Which is a really good movie. So there you go.
There you are. That's an amazingly terrible performance. It was like $480. I literally could have rented the theater for more.
Mm-hmm.
With what's in my bank account. And I don't have much money at all. Then finally, This Is the End came out and it made $1.9 million. It just went under $100 million. They're going for that $100 million mark. And it was ranked 13th on the weekend after a 2,100 screen expansion. So that's about it.
Okay. So let's see this weekend. What are you thinking?
What do you think? Oh, gosh. I don't even think I wrote anything down.
You never write anything down. Come on.
I don't write anything. I'm going to say $35 million for The Conjuring.
$35 million
the
for
Conjuring.
The Conjuring?
Yes,
because that came out in July.
It's going to come back. The Insidious 2. $35 million.
I'm going to say Insidious 2. I'm not as confident as you are. I'll give it 24.
All right. 24. 24. $24 million?
Dollars.
I think Hellbaby's going to come back and make $158 million this weekend.
Okay.
And on that note, we have to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about DVDs.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
Let's talk about a little bit more news.
Yes, there was some interesting news that popped up late this week. We'll see if it's true or not.
Yeah.
A little news coming out of Warner Brothers that there are more Harry Potter-themed films in the works.
When you showed me this story, I was like, I'm believing it. Because it's like Variety.
I found it from Variety. Yeah. So, you know, if it's on Variety, I give it a little bit of cred.
Yeah, but there was like a whole thing where an April Fool's story, obviously from April this year, talking about her writing more Harry Potter books, kind of suddenly showed up on news feeds everywhere. People mm-hmm. started talking about it. And maybe this was part of that. I don't know.
I don't know. There are a lot of details that go with it.
Yeah.
So it's based on The Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is...
In the Southern Wild.
Exactly. Nobody's going to get that reference.
With Kevon Shanae Wallace.
Seriously, that's a joke. That's a year old.
I know. I have utterly confused everybody who doesn't pay attention to Fox Searchlight award films.
So anyway, that is a textbook from mm-hmm. the Harry Potter books.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a series of films, and J.K. Rowling is actually writing the screenplay.
We'll see how that goes.
We'll see.
Because it can't be 1,000 pages long.
No.
Is Benedict, because it's about the guy who writes the book, and is it about Benedict Cumberbatch?
Oh, I hope so.
Going in, because doesn't he, isn't that what that whole City of Lost Children Z World War
is
thing
he,
we were talking
like,
about
he's like
week?
The only British person who wasn't in a Harry Potter film, so. That's,
well, he wasn't famous enough early.
I know, so it's time to bring him in.
He totally would have been in the Harry Potter films.
Oh, totally.
He would have been all over him.
Yeah.
Like a cheap suit, but looking fabulous. All right.
Let's hope so.
We'll see what happens. These are not going to be as huge. I mean, people are excited for him, but it's kind of like when she did Beetle and the Bard, the book, and she did a detective story that apparently bombed in
yeah, it was a really big deal for a really long time, and then it came out and nobody talked about it anymore.
And, yeah, people are like, where's the magic, where's the wizards? So that's, and I think that's what's going to run into, there was this epic battle between good and evil, and it was this all-encompassing thing, and it really included the entire world at risk.
Yeah, and this guy's a huge phenomenon,
and this one's going to be about Benedict Cumberbatch finding weird creatures.
I'll take it anyway.
Okay.
Why not?
The couple other news in terms of development, you've got Ant-Man, which is, of course, Edgar Wright's Marvel movie about a character nobody knows unless they read the comic books.
Nope.
That is going to be coming out in summer of 2015, as if there's not enough things happening in the 2015
there's
summer.
There's a ton of stuff going on in 2015. Mark your calendars.
I'm going to be exhausted.
Don't make any plans. You'll be in the theater all summer.
I think I'm just going to have a coffee drip through the entire summer. Just to make it through all the screenings
it's
and the
true.
Movies.
It's true. It's
going to
be crazy.
It's going to be insane. Because also, on summer 2013, is Jurassic Park 4.
2015.
Did I say 14?
You said 2013.
I totally said 2015.
That's
you're
in the
hearing
past.
Me wrong.
Jurassic
Park 4 has been named the Jurassic World.
And why not?
Sure. I don't know what that says about anything, because all it was a title.
Yeah.
And they put a little logo out there. And that's
a big
cool.
deal!
But maybe there's going to be dinosaurs everywhere. Who knows?
It could happen.
So, it should be Jurassic Park 4.
Maybe it's a historical movie.
Maybe it's about Benedict Cumberbatch running around finding dinosaurs.
Let's hope so.
Of course. And then finally, the big news for development is...
The big news.
That everyone's talking about.
That Step Up 5 is coming out. Woo!
Step Up 5! What is
in the works? And, you know, because the cast, as busy as they are with other things, the cast is coming back.
Wait, what do you mean other things? Like doing their laundry?
Yes. Because it takes a lot
cleaning?
To do laundry after dance practice. You never know those stinky leotards.
Well,
they get stinky. You need to do your laundry.
I've been in dance studios, and...
I bet you have.
I have. I don't work there. I mean, I just happen to...
I just happen to stumble in looking for a burger.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, they got to eat something here. They need energy. But no, I mean, people think, oh, she's a dancer and she's beautiful, and they are, but they don't smell right when you're in the studio with them. Because they're sweaty, and it's just nothing but, dirty feet from, wall-to-wall carpeting of dirty feet.
So once they're done doing their laundry, they're going to make Step Up 5.
With dwarves doing the woodwork and the molding and everything.
Is Benedict Cumberbatch going to be in this film as well?
He should be hunting the dwarves that are doing all the home repairs.
I can see him doing a Michael Flatley thing. Lord of the Dance.
Yeah.
Lord of the Dance, Step Up 5.
Wow. Mm. With Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes. There you have it.
And Polly Shore.
Take note, Hollywood.
That's right. That is why we are not developing movies, because we're insane. This is the ramblings of insane people. Heavens to Murgatroyd. All right, let's move on to the next segment.
Oh, but this segment was so much fun.
We've got a lot on this list. And in our like to call the world famous
DVD roundup.
Yeehaw!
Woo!
All right, the first one. The big one from this week.
I've heard of it.
Okay. I didn't know whether that was, you were being serious about it. It's not that big. I'm like, you love this movie.
I love it. I liked it.
Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about this movie, or this release, is depending on where you get it, you get different features.
I might go to Canada to get mine.
Really?
Have more features than the Canadian one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
They've spread out all these features and they put them in like a Target exclusive and a Walmart exclusive.
You go to Walmart or Best Buy.
If you download it from iTunes, you get the commentary. There's been a lot of people sounding off about this. Regardless of whether you like the movie, I think this is a kind of a stinky thing for Paramount to be doing.
It is a little stinky.
Just give us the ultimate edition.
Yeah. Because I don't want to buy five editions just to get the special features.
Yeah. And honestly, I understand the idea of doing the one with special features and the movie-only edition. That's fine.
Sure.
Because some people might just want the movie. But if you're going to get the special features, put it all on a disc and let us have it.
Yes.
Also this week, on Friday the 13th, is releasing Friday the 13th, The Ultimate Collection.
On Blu-ray.
Yes. All the Jason movies. Not the Jason Bourne movies, although he does find ways to kill people with inanimate objects.
It's true. Good connection.
Yes. Nightmare Before Christmas gets its 25th anniversary Blu-ray release.
Seriously, how many times did they release this movie?
I don't know. I've got like 10 copies.
I have several copies.
There's also The Fly, the original Fly with Vincent Price is out on Blu-ray.
Oh, the original original. Hmm.
Well, I suppose, what other original is
there? Well, yeah, there's that one.
Okay. At home, and there are a bunch of TV shows. There's Homeland Season 2, which is the one with Claire Danes.
Yes.
And The Big Bang Theory, Season 6, that's still on the air. I like that show. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Season 8. Very funny show, harsh and sarcastic.
Those are great things.
As is The League, Season 4.
Yes.
Do you watch The League?
I don't. Oh. And I have heard wonderful things about it. I have to watch it.
It's so wrong.
And it's with...
The Duplass.
Yes. Yeah. Who also do a lot of mumblecore films.
That's true. But this is way more scripted and way dirtier.
Okay. You don't know that. You've never seen any others.
Oh, I've seen The League, though. That gets there.
Okay.
There's also Supernatural Season 8. That's still in the air. Castle Season 5, again, still in the air. Luther Season 3, which I've heard is getting really, really dark and nasty.
If you
like dark and nasty, I guess that's good. Chicago Fire Season 1. So that's that. One more I want to point out, as you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer, there's a movie called Astronaut the Last Push, and this is a movie that I actually saw at a science fiction marathon several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a neat little space movie, but it's done by a guy who worked in the special effects industry. And it's really a grassroots thing. It has a couple names in it. It has Lance Hendrickson from the Aliens movie. It has Brian Baumgartner, who plays Kevin in The Office, the American version. And it's a story about a guy who's stranded on this trip, and it's an acting character piece. It's very much more somber and realistic, like something like, not like 2001, but it has that sort of, if you like that sort of thing.
Okay.
All right. I just want to give you I had a little bit of talk with Eric, the director, about this.
We really decided very early on that the movie had to be extremely well-grounded in scientific reality so that we would really go for an audience that don't often get movies made for them, which is people who really want to see realistic science fiction.
And you can listen to that whole interview on Fat Guys of the Movies if you want to hear the whole thing. That is it on our list of DVDs you want to check out.
Yes.
Or not.
It's a big, long list.
I have a stinker of the week. Do you have a stinker of the week?
I don't.
My stinker of the week is Army Wives Season 7. Nothing really against Army Wives. It's just,
I haven't seen it. I know someone who loves the show, I can't say anything.
I mean, it's this weird halfway between quality primetime programming and really, really cheesy cable programming.
Yeah.
The dialogue is not very good at times.
Really? It's not very good?
But it's season 7. I think this might be maybe the last season. Or maybe the season airing is going to be the last one.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. It's my stinker of the week. And that's about it. Wow, this has been a jam-packed show.
This has been one crazy show. So I still haven't caught my breath.
I know. Let's do the review wrap-up. Insidious Chapter 2, get a preemptive suck because they didn't show it to us. Although we loved Insidious, the family, you said kind of rocks?
Kind of rocks.
I said it kind of sucked. And then Drinking Buddies, same thing.
Kind of rocks.
And I say it kind of sucks. Or in the mumblecore way of saying it.
That's not how they talk.
No, that's not. They don't mumble. No. Anyways, next week we're going to be talking about Battle of the Year, Prisoners, Thanks for Sharing, and maybe a little bit of Rush.